Last week I showed from where in the Bible we get the idea that there's going to be a one world order in the last days. All power around the globe will be consolidated and transferred to a single ruling body. And the president of that body will eventually be the Antichrist, the one world ruler. This person will be a master manipulator to have all the answers to the world's toughest problems, especially those concerning the Middle East and Israel. He will be able to consolidate power via peace treaties. He will have unbelievable wisdom, affability, which means he relates to all people of all ages easily. However, after 3.5 years, he will take off his mask and reveal to the world who he truly is. He will set himself up to be God. And we know that Satan himself will indwell him and cause the whole world to worship him, whereby people will actually be worshiping Satan. That is what Satan has wanted all this time. And by this time, the world's economies will be firmly held in his grasp as he causes all of those, both great and small, to receive the mark, professing loyalty to him, a mark of some kind. But in order to force people to accept the mark of the beast, as it is called in the Bible, one must wield absolute authority and power. The Bible says that the Antichrist will cause all to take a mark or an electric chip of some kind. The Bible says that the mark will contain the numbers 666 in some fashion we don't really know. The false prophet will implement the enforcement of the mandate to receive the mark. Every man, woman, and child worldwide will be prevented from participating in commerce, that's buying or selling, unless they have this mark. And the only way to pull this off is to have everybody connected to one giant network and database. There must also be cameras throughout, as well as a method of scanning people. And you thought 5G was just about better internet service, didn't you? As I look at world events, my position is that the time for a one world order has arrived. Consider these statements. I have a statement by George Bush made around 1990. We have it on the screen for you. What is at stake is more than one small country. Now, this was the president of the United States. It is a big idea. A new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in a common cause, to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order. George Bush, January 29th, 1991. That was almost 30 years ago. Can you imagine where we are today? For one world government to come into power, something must occur that causes nations to yield their sovereignty for the sake of the common good. Sovereignty is the right to rule oneself as one sees fit. We say God is sovereign. It's his right to rule everything as he sees fit. Nationalism is the right of a country to make its own rules and govern its own people as it sees fit. There is a worldwide sentiment towards anti-nationalism, implying, if not outright saying, that you're a bad country if you only are doing what's right for your people instead of what's best for the whole world. All countries must be convinced that a situation is so dire that unless all countries unite, the world will end as we know it. It is called hyperbole. It is taking something and greatly exaggerating it. But those are the calls that we're hearing. Everything is greatly exaggerated. Over the years, these events that bring so much global concern have been increasing. We've all seen it. Events like climate change and terrorism, a pandemic, to name just a few examples. We've seen all of these things increase in the past 20 years, and they've arrived with suddenness and bringing with it a worldwide call to fix the problems. These events are the signs that a new world order is upon us. But really, Satan himself is behind these things as he attempts to form a unified one world government. Ultimately, global unity is the perfect means by which Satan can usher in his Antichrist. Once the Antichrist is put in leadership, Satan indwells him and causes the whole world to bow before him. That has always been Satan's objective, to be like God. As this is part two of the message that I started last week, I want to present the scripture that is foundational for the things that I'm going to share with you this morning. So in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, I'll give you a chance to turn there. So this is Satan's ambition. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. That is, the stars of God is a reference to the angels. Satan wants to be even above them. And I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And here is his ambition. I will make myself like the Most High. That is Satan's, that's his goal, that's his ultimate goal in forming a one world order. Now I want to touch on Revelation 13. We've looked at it several times, but it's important that we have a firm handle on what we're reading, looking at here, because it pertains to the end times, it pertains to a one world order, and the absolute power that the Antichrist will yield. So flip over to Revelation 13. And we're going to be starting in verse 1 through 8, then we'll skip down through 11 through 18. So in chapter 13, verse 1, then I stood, that is John, as he was having the vision of the end of times on the Isle of Patmos. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Remember, this referred back to Daniel chapter 7. We talked about that last week. The dragon gave him his power. The dragon is Satan. His throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. This was the Antichrist coming back to life, or at least having a wound that he was presented as being dead, but he really wasn't. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. The beast is the Antichrist. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. So this is halfway through the tribulation. This is the midpoint of the tribulation. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and all those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This is the part you might want to underline there. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. All. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Then skip down to verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's why they call him the false prophet. He's imitating the prophets of the Old Testament scripture. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I'm going to show you something a little incredible later on in this message. So for these things that we just read about to occur, the easiest path to global power is for Satan to contrive a scheme whereby there arises a problem so massive and tragic that the whole world must unify in order to obtain a solution. Does that sound familiar? With just a brief look into recent history, we can note the growing emergence of a worldwide call to unify. The League of Nations was formed in 1920 in the aftermath of World War I as a unified body of peaceable nations standing together to thwart the advance of a common enemy. However, even with good intentions, the League was mostly ineffective. The time wasn't yet right for Satan to usher in a one-world government. Nevertheless, a move toward a global government continued. The United Nations was formed in 1945 in the aftermath of World War II. It was formed as a good thing, the world uniting, in response to Germany and Japan's world dominion ambitions. But ever since its formation, the UN has been unable to get all nations to comply with its objectives of world peace, primarily because they are hypocritical in their call and their message of peace. They are not a peaceful body by any stretch of the imaginations. Yet the UN still intends on being a legislative body in the one world order, in the one world government, and has determined to not fade in history. It's still around, as we all know. A few of the things that the UN has established already are a world court, a world bank, a single world trade organization, and a world health organization. Boy, they did a great job recently, didn't they? The only problem is that the whole world is not yet ready to submit to these things. It's going to take a crisis of some sorts to bring it about. But with the rise of terrorism and mass killings in all parts of the world, the nations have started to agree that something on a global scale must be done to stop it, or it will get out of hand, and we know that it already is. It will take a unified effort of manpower and resources. Yet even terrorism has not been enough to unite the world, because all countries have not been touched by it yet. In recent years, I believe another scheme, I'm just going to call it a scheme because the devil is scheming. Another scheme has been orchestrated by Satan to open the door to a new world order. I believe it's climate change. I'm not saying that we should not take care of environment. Of course we should. We should and we must, especially as Christians. This is God's creation. He put us in its care of creation, but we must not worship it. The climate change alarm is about more than just getting the earth's temperature back down. It is about unifying the world through a common goal. The goal is preserving the earth. After all, we all have to live here, and for the sake of our children, we want it to be around when they grow up, don't we? Who wouldn't want to preserve the earth? Our poor children. But climate change by itself has not been enough to draw the world together as Satan desires. Enter COVID-19. Now we have a worldwide virus that is killing people in every country. Every nation has something at stake. If we do not come together to solve the crisis, so leaders and scientists say, then we will see billions of people dead, possibly by Sunday. Therefore, we must have a vaccine. Wouldn't you agree? They demand. And everyone in the world must take it in order to prevent the spread, or you're just a bad person. Is COVID really the problem? Or is there something more sinister behind the facade of concern? We know that COVID is real. We all know somebody that's been touched for it. We have people in this very congregation that have just gone through it. We know that it is real. But is the concern for it legitimate? Or is there something more sinister behind the facade? I believe that Satan has finally orchestrated a way to unify the world and to facilitate the emergence of a one world order. Remember that ever since the Tower of Babel, it has been Satan's objective to preside over the world as God and be worshipped. And in order to do this, every person on earth must be accounted for so that there are no loose cannons running around spouting about freedom and independent thought. How terrible that is. This COVID-19 is either a test run to see if people are ready and willing to be tracked, or is it actually going to be used as the door handle itself to a one world ruling body? Maybe both. We'll see. I have a film clip for you right now. It's about 10 minutes. It talks about COVID-19 and the tracking system. They're going to refer to something called the World Economic Forum. It was formed not too many years ago. Basically, it's another organization to bring the world together economically, to bring commerce and everything under one roof. Its guise is to make the earth a better place. Who doesn't want to make the earth a better place? But their efforts are through man's handiwork. They've missed that God is the only one who brings true peace. And until God is reigning here on earth, the earth will not know true peace, because man has been a poor substitute for God. So I'm going to show this film clip. And if we could bring down the lights on the stage so that they could see it a little bit, that'd be great. Go ahead, Mike.
Great Reset. And it's scheduled now to kick off in January 2021. And if you want to know what's really going on here, if you want to know why the schools are probably, many of them are not going to open in the fall, if you want to know why you're wearing that dehumanizing face mask, even in your car, look to Davos.
Now is the historical moment of time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path.
What is it that would make it so that history would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset?
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call.
The world's problems fit on three sides of a triangle. It's one versus many, man versus nature, and the unfortunate foundation is long-term versus short-term.
Any recovery stimulus should have green conditions attached to it.
We have to change our economy dramatically in the next 20 or 30 years, and the next 10 years is absolutely decisive.
The recovery has to be greener than any of the previous recoveries.
And then we need to couple that with new initiatives to equip more people with the digital skills they'll need.
We have to live up to the expectations which we have created, and we will do so.
On June 2nd, 2020, just a few months ago, a couple months ago, the founder now of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Klaus Schwab, wrote an article on their website in which he just comes right out with it. He says the COVID pandemic represents a, quote, rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world, end quote. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. The world must act jointly and swiftly, says Mr. Schwab, to, quote, revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country, from the United States to China, must participate, and every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed, end quote. And Mr. Schwab comes right out and admits that he can't do this without, you guessed it, Bill Gates.
We are particularly committed to this initiative, since the forum has been
at the Origin in its annual meeting in Davos of the Global Fund, Gavi, and CEPI, together with the Gates Foundation and other founders of those crucial organizations, particularly today.
And they're all there. All the movers and shakers of the world are in Davos at one time or another. Even Prince Charles, the insufferable Prince of Wales, got into the act in Davos in January.
Unless we take the action necessary and we build again in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way, then we will end up having more and more pandemics and more disasters from ever accelerating global warming and climate change. So this is the one moment, as you've all been saying, when we have to make as much progress as we can.
And of course, Antonio Guterres, the former Prime Minister of Portugal, who's also a Catholic and is now serving as the Secretary General of the United Nations, he's in Davos chiming in as well.
A microscopic virus has closed down entire countries and economies. The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. As you rightly say, it is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world.
Friends, the full picture should begin to emerge now, and I'm just giving you a sample. I mean, everyone has spoken here. Everyone who is anyone in the globalist community has gone to Davos, has delivered speeches. They come together, they network, they plan our future.
This transformation essentially means that the whole way that we do business, that we live, and that we have grown accustomed to in the industrial age, will have to be changed. We will have to leave that behind us in the next 30 years ago.
This COVID thing is their golden opportunity, and they certainly don't want Trump or anyone else to fix the problem, certainly not prematurely. And this is what the war on hydroxychloroquine is all about. I mean, think about this. Why? You mention hydroxychloroquine and you get taken off Facebook? You get taken down from YouTube? Why? This thing's been going for 60 years. People use it all the time. Well, if you use it, you might have a heart attack, so we got to condemn that. Why are they doing this? This is a therapeutic that works for a lot of people. Doctors all over the place are using it right now, but they don't want it. Why? Why? Because it's not a vaccine. Because it might fix the problem. This is why those frontline doctors in the white coats, that's why they were banned from social media. Many of them are now losing their jobs. They were frontline heroes. And all they did wrong was come out and talk about fixing the thing now. Not waiting 18 months. You're not waiting for a vaccine. But how they're fixing and healing people right now. Doesn't that make you just a little suspicious? Because, see, the problem is these frontline doctors in the white coats, if they're right, and COVID can be cured without 7 billion doses of Bill Gates' vaccine. Well, the Great Reset that they keep talking about in Davos, Switzerland, the Great Reset will be dead on arrival. And all of us will go back to life. Life as we knew it. This is why the 2021 Davos Summit now, 2021, it's coming right up after Christmas, the Davos Summit and the Great Reset, they need President Joe the Catholic Biden to hand us, the United States, over to them if he wins this election. This is why they're trying so hard to take Donald Trump down. They need to reset everything, including the politics of the United States, the governance of the United States. Besides that, old Joe the Catholic Biden has always been a New World Order guy.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
And of course, friends, we hear a lot about the Green New Deal and all of that, right? We hear Francis with his Laudato Si encyclical and all of that. They're all working together, aren't they? The Davos 2021 Summit works closely with something called Climate Reality Project. And guess who runs that? The respected trustee of the World Economic Forum, Albert Gore.
This crisis, the climate crisis, is way worse than people generally realize. Way worse. It is getting worse still, way faster than people realize. The burden to act that is on the shoulders of the generation of people alive today is a challenge to our moral imagination. But this is Thermopylae. This is Agincourt. This is the Battle of the Bulge. This is Dunkirk. This is 9/11. We have to rise to this occasion.
I can't believe this guy is still knocking around. What's this all about? I think you know. I think we all sort of in our hearts, we kind of realize what's going on here. This is not about COVID anymore. This is about a reset of everything. And the United States of America is in the way right now of all of it. So they are destabilizing our entire country. The Great Reset, then, politically, economically, it wants to implement massive socialist programs. And, of course, global climate change along the lines of the Green New Deal. The regulation is going to be unbelievable. And no one, no country will be allowed to opt out of this. Why? Well, if an individual country opts out of the Great Reset, they're going to be endangering the whole world community, the whole world, through future pandemics that will be caused by climate change, Al Gore says, and overpopulation, says Bill Gates. You see how it works? No country will be allowed to opt out. This is what we're facing in November. Everyone's in on the Great Reset. Well, almost everyone. There's one guy who's got the power to do something to stop it. You know exactly where I'm going. And they made a mistake. They tried to get Trump on their side, so they invited Donald Trump to Davos, I think a couple of times. But in January, when Donald Trump, I think, really began to see the beast that he was up against, he went to Davos, yeah, to the World Economic Forum, and he stuck a MAGA finger in their eye.
We're committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. These alarmists always demand the same thing, absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
2 days after Donald Trump gave that speech, the 89-year-old leftist weirdo billionaire George Soros made an emergency intervention where, at Davos, once again, warning that the U.S. 2020 election will determine the, quote, fate of the whole world. Now, in the context of Davos, take a look at this one more time. This is a month after Donald Trump addressed Davos and stuck the MAGA finger in their face. Here's what Francis, the Vatican, and Jeffrey Sachs had to say in response.
And it is a dangerous country right now. It will be absolutely dangerous if Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election. Trump wins re-election.
Hey, I just want to let you know that I'm not promulgating Trump or Biden. This is not a political endorsement of either one of those guys. The Bible says we're to pray for our leaders no matter who our leaders are. The point being is that we are on the precipice of a new world order. And it's moving ahead at a rapid pace right now. This is hot off the press. December 3rd, that's just a few days ago, vaccination cards will be issued to everyone getting COVID-19 vaccine, health officials say, CNN reported. Everyone will be issued a written card that they can put in their wallet that will tell them what they had and when their next dose is due. Moore said, the reporter, let's do the simple thing. The easy thing first, everyone's going to get that. Interesting, isn't it? What simple thing first? Tracking. So that every part of our lives can be watched and managed. That's one of the goals of the New World Order. The vaccine card, I believe, is the first thing that we're seeing. It's the first thing that's come across our lives that truly could be impacted. Now I want to show you briefly something very interesting regarding the companies that are slated to be approved for the vaccine, okay? These are the companies, there's three companies right now that are approved to move ahead with the vaccine. They're slated to be approved. The first one is, do you recognize any name on this? I helped you out and put it in red. I'm going to tell you what these companies are here in just a second. AstraZeneca, the bottom one. They have been approved for a vaccine. It's almost ready to be distributed. The next one. Do you notice a name down at the bottom of this one? Moderna. It's one of the vaccines that is slated to be rolled out. And then the next one, Pfizer. Pfizer is making the third one. Why do I bring these up? All three of these companies are considered partners of the World Economic Forum. They've been given money to the World Economic Forum, and it's no coincidence that it's their vaccines that have been approved to be rolled out. Interesting, isn't it? Finally, whatever it is that unifies the world and causes countries such as America to lay down its sovereignty, it will not wholly happen until all people, not just the nation's leaders, but the little guys, you and me, submit our sovereignty to self-rule, to yield our personal freedom for the sake of the greater good. You're a bad person if you think otherwise. Through the submission of the common person, whether voluntary or forced, it will ensure that the world is now ready for a one world government. You've got to get the little people in line. However, to ensure that we submit, there has to be a way of knowing who is not submitting versus who is. Enter the chip. I refer to you verses 16 through 18 of Revelation. Once again, you don't need to turn there. We'll have it on the screen possibly. In verse 16, he causes all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The chip, tattoo, or whatever it will be is necessary to not only track and monitor those who are non-compliant with a particular narrative, but to later hunt down those who may have intentions of subverting the one world government and ultimately the rule of the Antichrist. Folks, a tracking chip has been around for a long time, but the system of tracking and monitoring, the system of using it, is officially here. I want to show you something. Patton, I think we'll have it on the screen. Patton WO 2020-060606 was registered on the 26th of March of this year. The patent application was filed by Microsoft Technology Licensing, headed by, of course, Bill Gates. Back on June 20th, 2019, and then on April 22nd, the patent was granted international status. The title of the patent is Cryptocurrency System Using Body Activity Data. We say that all every day, don't we? So what is this invention that the people at Microsoft have decided to patent? A server may provide a task to a device of a user of this chip, which is communicatively coupled to the server. I'm going to explain what this means in a second. This is directly from the patent description. A sensor may sense body activity of the user. Body activity will be sensed and information sent back to the server, and otherwise constant monitoring and tracking. There will be a cryptocurrency system coupled to the device of the user and will verify if the body activity data satisfies one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system, and then award cryptocurrency to the user whose body activity data is verified. In other words, we're no longer trading in money and dollars. We're trading in cryptocurrency. It's kind of money in the cloud that just goes in under our accounts. Here is essentially what this is that I'm talking about. A chip will be inserted into the body that monitors a person's daily physical activity in return for cryptocurrency. In other words, we are rewarded when we are doing things that the original server set up for us to do, and I'll explain what that means here in just a second. If certain conditions are met, then the person receives certain bonuses that can be spent on something. Think rewards for health insurance, car insurance, or just being a good girl or boy and obeying the rules. What I mean by that is you have a chip implanted and your insurance company says, we will keep your insurance low as long as you're not eating fried foods and cake icing. And guess what? At the end of the month, you have low insurance rates. But you skip. One day you go to a church potluck and you just can't resist yourself. And you gorge yourself with gravy and mashed potatoes and pasta and chocolate icing and donuts and all those wonderful things we have. Suddenly your sensors go off and the insurance company guys fall out of their chair. My, they have been a bad girl, a bad boy. We're going to increase their rates until they learn how to line up and do what's right. We've told them. Insurance. Car insurance. Somehow, they already can track our cars, but it'll be in our bodies. Wow, this person is doing 95 on a 35. We're going to raise their insurance. They know. But how about something even more insidious? Like walking by a BLM flag and forgetting to salute. Or going to a ChristianBook.com and buying something, and they know where you've been visiting. Or going to church on Sunday. Wow, this person right here, they're a bad person. They're not complying with the narrative. They're not complying with the one world scheme. They're not one of us. They're one of them. And through this system, people can be tracked and hunted down. And what it was intended as being an award, a reward, now becomes a form of punishment. Once this technology gets into the hands of the powerful, and we know that it's probably already there. We know that power corrupts absolutely, right? Absolute power is corrupted. Absolutely. Once this technology gets into the hands, the system is here to track us. I thought that was interesting. But all of this information should not cause fear or panic. It should bring joy. Pastor, are you insane? I'm not feeling joyful right now. It's just because you're losing your perspective a little bit. You're letting a spirit of fear put something in your heart and your mind. Say, no. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's given us the ability to read His Word and to know that His Word is truth. His Word is our hope. Y'all, we live in the most exciting times in human history. History began thousands of years in a garden, and it's about to wrap up. The prophets and the people of God have been looking forward to our day for millennia, and we get to live in it. I get chills just thinking about it. The Bible tells us that when we see these things coming to pass, not to fear, but to look up, for our redemption is near. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exhorts us to comfort one another with the words of prophecy and Christ's soon return. And by all means, quit messing around with sin. The hour is late. It's time to quit messing around. Take your call as a child of God seriously. Put away all those things which so easily entangles you. Run the race to win it, not just stumble across the finish line. Jesus Himself says in Matthew 24, verse 45, "Who then is the faithful and sensible servant whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time?" Verse 46, "Blessed is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. The time is short. It is now." Jesus is our true hope, as we talked about in Advent this morning. Our hope is not with man or global governments. It is not with who is president or who is not. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He has given us His peace with our Father. The world is not our home. We are just passing through, as the song sings. And there is no need to ever fear what man can do to us, because what really matters is what God can do with us after our time on earth is finished. The true great reset will be when Jesus Christ comes back to set up his kingdom on earth. But until then, there will not be a great reset. The reset is found in the blood of Jesus Christ and his kingdom on earth. Amen? Those days are right around the corner. Well, next week I'm going to conclude the last day's message in talking about the return of Christ, the second coming, and then talk about the millennial reign of Christ, and then we'll wrap things up. A lot to think about this morning, isn't there? Y'all, we're close. Jesus is coming. He's coming. I can hear that train coming. The glory train. The glory train. Amen. Let's stand and pray.